Hello again, everybody. Welcome to Trat and Drake Veterinary Podcast, episode 17 at this point. We're approaching 20. Wow. All right. This podcast is about to be able to buy some cigarettes for the next one.
Why would you though?
That's true. It's terrible for you.
Come up with cigarettes.
Well, I didn't want to make things like there's obviously something else that came to mind, but I didn't want to go there. So
have you ever smoked a cigarette?
Maybe like one drag, like
really
when I was like 19 in college, because I wanted to see how it was. I know, right? Risky. I don't know if I have an addictive personality. I would say no.
I don't know if it depends on your personality, though.
There's a genetic thing that based like it's genetically what implant implied it genetically. It's in your genes to be more susceptible to addiction.
Right. Like from a behavioral sense, but I feel like nicotine addiction overrides any personality trait, I would assume.
Well, then that would explain, because there's differences between people who can quit cigarettes and there are people who can't.
But are you telling me that there are people out there that could take, like, they could try to get addicted to cigarettes and just can't? I don't think that exists.
I've never seen anyone tried to get addicted, but
if you give them a month to keep smoking cigarettes to try to get hooked on it, I don't think there's a human out there that could not be addicted to cigarettes at that point. That's, I guess, my point. But anyway,
I don't know how that became our intro. Moral of the story, don't smoke. There's got to be a genetic, like in your DNA, how many nicotine receptors you have too, though, right? Unless it's like, does it override dopamine? Does it have the same thing? And therefore, like, that's why it just, I actually have no idea how this works.
Yeah, I don't know anything about cigarette addiction. But
moving on. So today's episode is going to be a little bit different, but I'm pretty excited to talk about it just because it's a little different. Let's mix things up. I'm a big YouTuber, so I have YouTube Premium, which those who watch more than one video a day on YouTube, I think it's worth every penny. Not to say that it's not, like, every subscription now is ridiculous and it costs money, which is frustrating. But instead of being cut off with ads on this video that you want to watch, it's now, you don't have any ads. And it's worth it. It's life-changing. Once you get it, you can't go back. YouTube Premium. Not sponsored, unfortunately.
Or you can use ad block.
I have it on my TV. You can't add block on TV. Yeah.
Well, don't watch YouTube on your TV.
That's what we do. My wife and I will, after a long day, baby's asleep, we'll go on this, we'll sit down in front of the TV and we'll watch YouTube on it. That's what you do now.
I guess that's fair.
You know?
I mean, in the grand scheme of things, the cost of YouTube Premium is relatively low.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's cheaper than my light bill, for sure. And all the other things that I use.
I think cigarettes.
It's still like 10 or 12. it's way, way cheaper than my cigarettes, which apparently have harsher drugs in them. So I was watching YouTube and something came up. I have like an occasional, a lot of things I watch are like cooking stuff. My wife and I watch Good Mythical Morning, tech stuff, of course. But occasionally I'll get some science related stuff. And there was one that caught my eye because of the thumbnail and the clickbait titles that people like to have. And it had to do with mosquitoes. And I mean, we talked a little about this before the episode, of course, it'd be unfair for me to say, I don't know about you, Remington, but mosquitoes are kind of the bane of my existence.
Think of mosquitoes?
I know, right? I think it's like a known, I'm pretty sure majority, and I could confidently say this without any statistical knowledge, but at least 90% of cognizant people who have encountered mosquitoes can tell me that you do not like mosquitoes, right? There's no one out there who's like, man, I don't know, dude, mosquitoes, those are
I don't think anyone likes mosquitoes. I think the only people that I feel like the people that research mosquitoes still don't like them. They find them interesting.
Well, they research them.
But it's probably to research them to get rid of them.
Exactly, right? And that kind of goes into what the video I came across. So essentially, it's
wasn't the Mark Rober video.
No, and I
or was it Mark? No, it was someone else.
It was okay because he's done a lot of cool videos. I got to give a shout out to him too.
He's very talented.
He's really fun.
Maybe it's Veritasium. There was one of the major science YouTubers that recently did a mosquito thing. Ooh. I think it was Veritasium.
Yeah, it then goes into
it was
how
a good
much,
one.
Yeah, I bet, because they probably did a heck of a lot more research than we did for this episode.
Oh, he was like getting bitten by them and all that. Yeah, it was like
it was Mark Rober.
The whole thing.
It was. I saw that one.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah, he was in the he went to the lab, right? And they did all that stuff. Yep.
Yeah. Well, he also did a bed bug one, which was disgusting.
He was bed bugs. Maybe it was bed bugs instead of mosquitoes. I
have to look this up.
I might have seen that one actually some years ago. But of course, now this goes into the topic of I think I might have seen it. But the topic of now how they eradicate, or how they're trying to eradicate or control mosquito populations, obviously for more second or third world countries because of the incredible amount of disease it spreads. For me, actually, Remy, why don't you tell me, what's your personal experience with mosquitoes? Is this more of like a personal vendetta on my end, or do you?
I think you definitely have a higher hatred of mosquitoes than I do. I mean, part of it is I've been lucky that, you know, I haven't lived in super mosquito heavy areas for a lot of my life. But like, even when I have, I feel like I'm not a prime target for them.
Oh.
Yeah. They're more opportunistic around me, right? If I'm there and no one else is there, then sure. But I'm not the...
You're not their
I'm
prime.
Not the,
okay.
The prime top shelf human.
That's me. I'm top shelf stuff, man. I think it has to do with like carbon emissions. I think they're very attracted to CO2. And I don't know. I guess I
just like breathing.
I was going to say fart a lot, but that's methane, isn't it? Not CO2. So, yeah. I mean, I was lucky in my childhood in the Bay Area to not be around a lot of mosquitoes. I remember my first encounter with mosquitoes. I was sleeping and suddenly I woke up to something on my lip, and then...
Wait, your first ever encounter, you remember it?
Of my memory, yeah.
What?
So what happened was I woke up in the... I was actually sleeping in my sister's room. I was 8 or 9 years old, and I woke up to a bug, and I didn't even know it was a bug, but I felt something on my lip, and I woke up to it, and I saw a bug, and I saw blood, right? I was like, oh. Over the course of the next 12 hours, my lip just swelled up like crazy. And then it was like another 10, 15 years until I saw another mosquito, because it just isn't very common in that pocket of the Bay Area that I grew up in. And then the next time I saw one was when I was camping in college. Now, not to go into race, but Asians don't camp, all right? That's a general statement. But if you talk to we'll check it out, but like, when there are some that I've known who do Boy Scouts, but we're not, you don't see a lot of us go out there and have a lot of experience, at least back in the 90s and 2000s. Nowadays, you might see a lot more Asian Americans, or you just Asians in general doing it, but
people,
my friends
to
and
invite
I,
them to yeah, camping, and
we
show
finally
them how awesome
they
is.
Opened up. Hey, they opened up the borders for us, man. It's great. But me and my group of friends, we weren't big campers, so I very limited experience. We don't know about bug spray. I never had to wear it. So I go in and I wake up in the middle of the night and I have literally 20 plus bites, welts on my shins. And for the next 6 months, it's developed such significant scar tissue on my legs where I had to apply steroid cream on it quite frequently because of the itch. It was such a severe reaction. And steroids cause darkening or pigmentation on your skin. So for months, I would just have these circular welts all over both of my shins. And I remember that because that was the time when I started playing a lot of pickup basketball in college. And I'd have to roll my socks up all the way up to my knees because I was kind of embarrassed by it.
You weren't embarrassed by rolling your socks up that night?
The higher your socks are in basketball, the better of a baller you are. Everyone knows that.
Okay.
Please.
Okay.
So fast forward now to vet school. And again, I say this in every episode, I'm a Caribbean student. I went to Ross, class 2018. And the Caribbean is definitely a place that breeds and has mosquitoes, right? Same with Florida. So that was a big thing for me. And I had to deal with that on a daily basis. It got to the point where I had to buy insecticides, where I'd wake up in the morning, spray my entire room, like a whole can of it, close my door, and I only went into my room just to sleep, because I couldn't sleep with any single mosquito that buzzed around my ear. I wouldn't be able to sleep for the night, especially if I had an exam the next day. It's just, that's game over, right? They have these US, like it's illegal to buy in the US. They have these things that they sell there, and that's what I would use every day. I have no idea what it's done to me long term. But that's, there's such a...
Yeah, I was going to say, do you know why it's illegal?
I was looking it up. So before this episode, I looked it up. I couldn't find anything. I think a lot of it isn't so much the ingredients, but I think just the company that's based in the Caribbean, they didn't apply for the EPA eligibility in the US. So
it's not like it causes...
No, I'm actually kind of just BSing about it, but it's the reason why it's not allowed is just because regulations, not because of... Well, I mean, who knows? Right. I didn't really go deep into like the percentage of those active ingredients. But anyways, I probably cut off the years of my life. I'm here now. We'll see how long it lasts. Yeah. I mean, there's a science to it at a point where if I can handle it, my mental health can handle 10 bites, active itchy bites. If there's any more than that, my mood dramatically changes and I'm a very, very unhappy person. So that's my personal experience. I think there's people in the world who have it a lot worse than me with mosquitoes because... We're not going to go super.
That's the worst I've ever heard.
I know, right?
I've never heard of anyone that had. Well, number one, it was kind of weird that you had like this one solitary experience with a mosquito, and it stood out in your memory enough to remember it from all that time later. But the fact that you still had those welts as long as you did, I've never known anyone else to have them that long.
Thank you, Remy.
Like, which yeah, I mean, thank you. You take first place in that. Yeah. Place of my life.
It's a thing in life where I've learned that people, they don't want advice, they don't want answers, they just want to be heard and they want their feelings to be acknowledged. And I feel heard and I feel acknowledged. That's all that matters.
Your mosquito therapy session. Yeah.
But you know, obviously, mosquitoes are kind of pretty horrible animal in the world.
Yeah, they're not great.
No, they.
But
again, these are things people know, but obviously they cause malaria, West Nile, dengue, yellow fever. Zika was a big thing in the Caribbean. Chikungunya, a lot of my classmates at Ross got. And of course, in the veterinary field, we have heartworm. Looked up some statistics online. This one was, I think, statistics.com. But in 2022, there were reported about 1 million deaths from mosquitoes in just that year. All right. Second place, snakes. At 100,000. Third
place.
Actually
more than I would have estimated.
I actually thought so too. I was a little surprised. I would have thought much less than that. So who knows?
That really begs the question, like how are these stats aggregated, right? Is it just someone who posted on whatever forums and someone else found it and then put it on Wikipedia and then like it's just self-referential at that point?
Because I mean, I feel like most places that have people that might die from mosquitoes or snakes are probably, they don't have the resources to accurately or consistently report those deaths either. So these are obviously estimates, or else it wouldn't be a rounded number like 100,000.
I put the order of magnitude at like 10,000.
Yeah.
Right. Not 100,000.
Yeah. But. I agree. Third place. Now that's a bit of, we started getting into some of these wild cards here. Third place is dogs at 30,000 deaths a year. And I kind of believe that just because visiting countries that aren't like America, where our dogs are practically our children, and you have people who are like, they don't want anything to do with dogs. I know this is kind of a bit of a reality check where there's still animals and people in America might get offended by someone not liking or hating dogs, but it's probably because from their experience from wherever they were from. Dogs are killing 30,000 people a year, you know?
Well, do you know if it's all cause death or if it's only dog attacks, or are they tying rabies from dogs into that? Like what a
fair question. And I don't know. Then this is why we have to kind of take statistics.com with a grain of salt. I think they had more sub statistics on each of these, but you had to pay for it. So until we get sponsored for this podcast, I probably won't be putting resources into subscription websites.
You get the top line number.
Yeah. And it just, we're using this for clickbait anyways. Yeah. Now here's another wild card. Deer was up there on the list, which didn't expect that either. Deer, 100
coming through your windshield when you run into them.
Right. I mean, I would think maybe moose, because aren't those guys significantly larger than deer?
Yeah, but still, like, how often, I don't know, I'm like struggling to conceive of how people are getting into situations where they're getting killed
by deer.
Deer. Unless you're counting like prion disease.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah.
Other weird crap. But I feel like, God, I don't know.
But
I mean, again, if we're at 100,000 snakes, 100,000 snake deaths, I mean, who knows? But
who knows?
Yeah, I think the dog one to me is believable. The mosquito one, I feel like everyone knows at this point that just mosquitoes are
it's kind of an
horrific. Yeah. But yeah, I wouldn't have put deer on that list.
On the list.
At all.
Yeah. And it's almost like the person who makes the statistics has like a personal vendetta against deer because it's like it's 100. Like, why are we putting that on there? But I guess it is. So one thing that I calculated very quickly are mosquitoes are 4,000 more times more likely to kill you than a lion is.
But how many lions are you running into?
So it doesn't matter. It's the fact that mosquitoes are more deadly. And if I were to have, I mean, essentially, if I were to have 250 pet lions versus 1 million pet mosquitoes,
I don't think it works that way.
The equivalence. Moving forward, let's go into the actual control method. So the 3 points of research that I did here was the CDC, the World Mosquito Program, which their website is worldmosquitoprogram.org. And I did a little bit of Wikipedia research. I'll start with the CDC. And this is one that they use Wolbachia. Or not, I don't want to know the CDC, but the information that CDC provided from those who are in the mosquito control research, this particular facility or program utilizes Wolbachia to actually sterilize or, control the population of the mosquitoes. It seems like the males that are infected with Wolbachia, when they mate with the females, the eggs do not hatch, and therefore the population is controlled. Reportedly, this has been used in Texas and California. Other countries like Singapore, Thailand, Mexico, and Australia have also, I guess, seen success from it. There are some things where you have to keep releasing these organisms that are these mosquitoes that are grown in lab, because if you don't, then eventually that population is just going to go back to normal, right? The mosquito population. Another thing that's interesting is that this effectively only works on one mosquito species, the aegypti, or the AE aegypti. So I think there's like over 1,000 different species in the world, but that is the primary one that spreads the disease. So it's good if you had to choose that one.
Interesting. Yeah, no, before you told me about that, I had no idea that they were using Wolbachia for mosquito control, because I'm sure everyone in the veterinary world knows the significance with heartworm.
Yeah. Right? Well, but the story will come full circle. Just you wait.
Okay. All right.
So
no, but I mean, it raises a lot of questions in my mind, right? Like number one, I wonder what went into the decision making for this kind of population control on mosquitoes, mm-hmm. presumably to help try to minimize mosquito borne illness in humans, right? But like, if we're taking the route of developing things that need to constantly be, like the Wolbachia mosquitoes need to be reintroduced consistently to maintain mm-hmm. control, like why is work being put into that when it seems like that as soon as we stop doing that, it's going to go right back to what it was? Because mm-hmm. you mentioned that there was another one with like the gene one that,
so
it's stained, right?
Like I'll get to just that one. And those, I think all of these techniques, unfortunately, don't have a one-time treatment. You have to keep manufacturing these altered mosquitoes and then sending them out into society.
But I guess my follow-up question to that was, is that an intentional choice that has been made, or is that a consequence of the fact that we haven't been able to develop a mm-hmm. sustainable method yet? Because I could see there being hesitation with wanting to introduce something that's going to be long-term in the ecosystem that impacts a core part of it, such as mosquitoes that are eaten by so many other
animals, funny enough,
in the ecosystem.
It actually, and this is only just based on a hypothesis, but they did say, they being some entity that I can't list off the top of my head, they mentioned that mosquitoes actually, if we were to eradicate the big three subspecies of mosquitoes that cause the disease, there's only about like maybe four or five other species that feed off of them. However, in those environments, there's actually other prey that they can survive off of. So mosquitoes really don't have a large impact on our ecosystem.
So you're saying specifically if we knock out just these species that are responsible for disease transmission, leaving all the other mosquitoes, we're okay with that?
That's currently like where I would say that. I mean, is there a scenario where if we eradicate all the thousands of different mosquito species, it's going to be okay? I don't know. I would personally be worried about that because who knows, right? I mean, they are such a big part of just, there's so many of them. There has to be some type of impact, but I don't know.
Yeah. Well, because they're not only food, but with the amount of disease that they transmit, they're their own form of population control, yeah. Right? So it's something that I wonder how specific all of these change, like all of these interventions are for being able to treat mosquitoes. If we're coming up with ones that are crossing that species boundary, I think that's where it gets a little bit more scary.
Oh yeah. But... can you imagine if it accidentally killed out like armadillos at the same time or like wolves? It's like, yeah, that would be I could see why they'd have to be very selective and create these lab grown ones, just because anything that would be reproducible in the wild would be very difficult to control. What's that old one? Oh, that old study or that thing where there was like an infestation of mice. So they brought all these cats and then they had infestation of cats. And they brought all these dogs. That becomes a whole thing. Now, a little more interesting here is the World Mosquito Program. And this is kind of, I probably where the video that I came across got their information. A lot of their research is done in Brazil. I believe they also have some funding from the Gates Foundation. So shout out to Bill Gates. They also have things in Colombia, Mexico, Honduras, Indonesia, parts of Asia, Australia, pretty much around the world. They also use Wolbachia. And this is a little bit of the part that's a little bit weird for me. And I wasn't able to find where this inconsistently goes, but they also affect the males with the Wolbachia. Okay. And when they mate, the mosquitoes are born with the Wolbachia. And those mosquitoes, unlike from what the CDC says, they actually, those offspring are viable. They live and they're able to reproduce. What ends up happening is that what they see is the Wolbachia infection on all these mosquitoes essentially outcompetes with the other viruses like dengue, malaria. And these mosquitoes become less infectious, therefore decreasing the amount of viral transmission. So Wolbachia seems to be like the best thing to ever kind of give to these bugs. I don't know. Maybe it's like the amount of the bacteria that then maybe at a certain threshold, now the offspring aren't viable, or I have no idea. But I thought that was very interesting.
Yeah, the concept of outcompeting other diseases within the mosquitoes is an interesting one. I guess, yeah, it would be something that I would have to learn more on how specifically that mechanism works. But yeah.
Let's get into the other sterilization.
Reveal the punchline out, right?
No, we're not there yet. We're not there yet. So other methods of sterilization, okay, which they also have, they use radiation. So they'll take laboratory grown insects, in this case, of course, mosquitoes. They'll shoot them with gamma radiation, okay, turn them all into the Hulk, and they become sterile and they can't reproduce. This is actually something that we all learned in vet school, right? They talk a huge thing about the screw worm, and those are huge impacts to the livestock industry, just because I think they eat away at the flesh and they're so incredibly aggressive. And if you have one, you literally have to eradicate the entire stock, so they can cause billions of dollars of damage. So what they did is they would take these lab-grown larvae, shoot them with gamma radiation, sterilize them completely, and then they'll mate, but they just don't create offspring, and then they die off. I don't really know why that was so successful for screwworms and only just maybe somewhat successful in certain pockets with mosquitoes. Maybe it's like a numbers thing where screwworms just don't reproduce as aggressively or efficiently like mosquitoes do. But okay, I'm going
to
jump to the
point.
I
mean, because you're having to breed in captivity a whole bunch of mosquitoes to then introduce into the population, right? Mm-hmm. So is there a limit? I mean, I guess from a practical sense that you're having to farm a whole bunch of mosquitoes that you're like, are just contributing to the problem at that point.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, it makes sense that you have to have mosquitoes to irradiate to then introduce into the population. But yeah, I question if there's just so many of them in their life cycle is so short that it's just a numbers thing.
Just a numbers thing, maybe.
But
all right, I'm going to get to the point that you wanted me to get to. So another mechanism that they used is gene manipulation. And essentially, they will insert genes into the mosquito DNA, essentially. This specific gene that I came across is called the OX513A gene. It essentially affects just the males. Okay, again, the guys tend to be the target here. Very quick, females are the ones that bite you. Males don't do it. They're just kind of the guys who just give them their Y or X, their extra chromosome, and then they end up reproducing. I don't even know if they have XY chromosomes. What ends up happening is that the offspring are born. However, because of this gene, they don't live long enough to mature into adulthood where they can then reproduce. So we'll kind of go back into like the concept of this, of what's happened in the lab, right? You get these males, you affect them with this gene, right? Now you have to reproduce these males to then make more so you can throw them out into the wild. So there's actually this thing with the males that have this gene. If you want them to have viable offspring, you actually have to give them a trigger to turn off that gene and then produce the offspring with that gene. And it's apparently a known thing called the TET off mechanism, TET standing for tetracycline. So what they end up doing is they give these mosquitoes tetracycline or doxycycline to turn off the gene, which ends up manipulating their ability to create offspring. And again, full circle into veterinary medicine. Dr. Drake, I'll let you take over what I'm trying to say here.
Well, one of the reasons that we care about doxycycline and Wolbachia is that that's one of the things that we treat during heartworm treatment, is doxy is used for Wolbachia, right? Which is mind-blowing, right?
That's
like, that was the cool part of it.
What?
But no, the wild part is that it's almost like it's reversed, right? Like you're turning it off by treating with the doxy, which I think is a really cool mechanism.
Yeah.
I'm picturing, like, when we first started talking about this, I recently watched this video, I guess it's a Florida thing. Mm-hmm. I'm still learning how things work here, but there's apparently some backyard trick you can do with one of those giant, like, 3-foot fans to control the mosquitoes in your backyard.
Oh, I've seen that.
And yeah, you put the mesh in front of it, and then, and the dude was just like, at the end of the day, was just dumping piles of mosquitoes. And I was blown away. I was like, I expected a little bit of mosquitoes, not the whole like leaf pile of mosquitoes. It was insane. And so I'm thinking of like, yeah, I mean, that's just one guy's backyard.
Yeah.
So spread that out to the billions of mosquitoes out there. I don't know. That's a lot of doxing, man, if we're doing that kind of stuff.
No. So obviously they only give the doxy in lab to then be able to reproduce it, because the thought is mosquitoes can't access doxycycline in the wild. But what if they can? What if there's a scenario where they end up realizing, oh man, we need this medication to be able to reproduce, and they end up finding and like invading a doxycycline factory?
Are they gonna join forces with the irradiated mosquitoes? It's like Spider-Man, but Mosquito Man.
So mosquitoes and Wolbachia, they work together and they kind of fight. And eventually we're going to find veterinarians and epidemiologists alike fighting to save the world. It's essentially really kind of what the whole
thing is. That'll be the next Marvel movie.
That's going to be the thumbnail of this, or the title of this podcast.
Some tells me they're not going to want that story.
I don't think so either.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I mean, it definitely, it for me, ties into kind of there's a whole realm that's interesting to dive into, but it's definitely way over, I think, most of our heads in terms of these populational level issues, specifically for like animals and the ecosystem, where we have these tools like these knockout genes and strategies utilizing the males of mosquitoes and stuff, where there's definitely a lot of factors that go into this decision making. And there's definitely areas where you can make decisions that you can't go back on, right? That there could be some irreversible things. But we're definitely entering a world where all of the genomic sequencing that we're able to do now, all of the RNA technology that we have, like it's opening up a lot of possibilities to really say, okay, well, if we're successful with eradicating disease causing species of mosquitoes, and then you turn and look at the projects that they're doing with vaccinating, you know, raccoons and stuff against rabies, what other things are worth considering and have positive benefits later on that potentially have relevancy to veterinarians, right? Like, is it something where the recent atypical CIRDC breakout that we've had in the US, like, is that something that hypothetically could there be a populational solution to help prevent that from spreading later on?
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of it comes down to the interest and I guess the severity of how it impacts the people who'd want to put money into it.
Yeah. You know? I mean, it definitely becomes, it's a little bit harder when it's, you look at like dogs that are owned by families. And I don't think that they're, now that I'm kind of going into this discussion, I think you start to cross the gap where it's like, okay, if it's wildlife, that's one thing. If it's pets owned by people, obviously, like there's a respect and ethical thing that you have to be able to get permission from people to want to participate in that. So I think that's probably, now that I'm thinking of it, I think that's, you know, going to be a barrier. But yeah, I mean, I guess it's, I'm really interested to see over the next like 5 to 10 years.
And
spend much time.
This is the kind of thing where I wish we paid attention more in epidemiology, or as you were saying, had more eventually have a epidemiologist want to come in and speak with us. But I think it is really cool how this whole mosquito thing, right? It's been around since like 2000. Okay. All right. Let's go into our omasarcoma. We haven't really, I feel like we haven't had one for like an episode or two. So why don't you start?
Yeah. So mine actually go together. My oma is that I'm going to Colorado soon.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, everyone,
I'll be going
Colorado
with you.
Yeah. We'll meet up and say hello again. Yeah. I'm really looking forward to it since I am a little bit more partial to Colorado weather in general.
Yeah,
I kind of like cooler weather.
You like the cold?
Yeah. So it's something that it was kind of a badly needed trip. So in that sense, I'm really looking forward to it. The sarcoma that goes along with it is part of the trip is a snowboarding, a little couple days snowboarding in the mountains. I am so out of shape that I've made the decision to skip snowboarding this year just because I don't want to like break my arm. And honestly, I almost should have made that decision last year just because it was like, I was not controlling my board as well as I should have. And
maybe
it's partially just from the... Yeah, no, I mean, it was something that I just haven't been working out as much as I should for the type of muscles you need to snowboard. And so this year I was just like, I don't want to risk it. I've got, you know, this is not the time in my life
got
that I want
too much on the line.
Yeah. So it's something that's kind of the only major bummer, but it's still going to be awesome to just be there and
totally
near the slopes, and my wife's going to be snowboarding. So it'll be good.
You don't want to risk breaking those podcasting arms of yours. We need that.
Need them too much, but let's hear it.
That's cool. My oma. So as of today, and of course this episode's not going to be out for a little while, but as of today, February 22nd, 2024, my sister had given birth to my new nephew. So I've mentioned my sister before. She's actually a veterinarian as well. Ross graduate. Graduated right before she left the island, essentially just as I went to the island. So she's got a couple years on me. So everything was healthy, very smooth. So I'm happy for her. And we have another member of the family. So he's going to be closer.
Huge.
Yeah, Mika's obviously, she's 6 months literally as of today or tomorrow. And so they're like 6 months apart. And my other sister is due next month. So no. She had a kid last month. everyone's born now. Yeah, we're all set.
There's too many babies.
Too many
to
babies.
Keep track of.
So yeah,
that's awesome.
They're all very close in age. So it's super, super awesome. And we're going to Colorado, of course, for a wedding. And after the wedding, you're going to be sticking in Colorado, but I'm going to be heading over to San Francisco to see my friends and family so I can meet my new nephews and everyone can meet my daughter for the first time. So
Yeah.
that's really cool. I'm really excited about that. The sarcoma, everything's related to my daughter now, all the good things and bad things. So
I mean, you expect that at this point, right? Like
yeah.
that's how it goes.
Very, very first world country thing, but again, we're on a platform where we can share our feelings to be heard, right? And to be
Self-awareness.
acknowledged. That's all that matters. All that matters. So I bought a new foam, like playground mat thing. It's just a bunch of like shapes and foam. Anyone who's a parent, sorry, anyone who is a parent knows what I'm talking about. And there's like, they come in like maybe seven or eight different of these large foam shapes, geometrical shapes, and you can build them into forts or anything like that. I got that for, which is awesome. Should be really more of an OMA. But then 2 weeks ago, I bought her like one of those little foldable gymnastic mats just to kind of help her with her dexterity and her body strength and her core strength. Now I don't know what to do with that. And I just got it like 2 weeks ago. And I got it from Amazon so I can return it, but I threw away the box. So they're like, you need to do your original packaging, which it's fine. I just had to get a box for it. But the thing's kind of awkwardly shaped. It's like a 2 foot by 6 foot thing. Well, once it's folded, it's like 2 by 2, but I don't have a box that can fit it. So I can't really return it unless I guess I pay money to buy a box. So anyways, yeah, we're just now
It's
having it
kind
in
of
the
a
living
bummer.
room. It's just hanging out there. It's a shame. You hate to waste or not utilize things you buy, but this goes into our capitalist society and the issues with that. But that's for another
It's
time.
gotta consume. I mean, do you have any other parents that you potentially trade
Oh,
it with?
fair. A trade.
I don't
Fair.
know. They may have something they're trying to get rid
Yeah.
of that you can trade it for.
I might. I think everyone in like our friends' social circle here, they either don't have kids. Or they have kids that are like a little bit too old for it. The little playmat that we have is maybe old enough for 0 to 9 months, and everyone else is there's kids like a year, year and a half. But I'm sure I can find someone. That's a good point. I should pass it on to someone who might need it more.
Worth doing. I mean, if you're going to go through the trouble of trying to buy a box. But
It's fair.
I was going to say, it's funny how now everything's so convenient with just getting stuff shipped to your house that now it's inconvenient that you need to ship it back, right? If you want to return it. Like, it's not just.
I can't
Well,
live
actually,
like
now that I
this.
wonder, you're not able to return it to. Because I know you can return some stuff to like Whole Foods or stuff, but you have to have the original packaging no matter what.
I
Is that
just
how that
have to have it
works?
in a box for the most part.
Oh, so
Like,
it doesn't have to,
well,
you just put it in any box.
they say it does, but I've returned things in not the original packaging and it's been fine. So I'm just gonna put it in a box
Do it again.
and see. Anyways, that's it for this episode today, guys. A little bit shorter, which sometimes I think is a little bit nicer. I've listened to podcasts
Probably, yeah,
sometimes
a
and it's,
reprieve from
you know, I have to kind of prepare myself for an hour long one. So in this scenario, hopefully we learned something today. If not, just enjoyed just learning a little bit about, well, just hearing about how mosquitoes are currently being treated in society or globally.
poorly.
We'll catch you guys next week. All right, everyone, take care.
See you later.
Bye.